Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 14, Good Friday Service. Sarah, Cheryl, Enoch, and others delivered this message on March 30th, 2018.
Through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay, we'll turn the lights back on. Welcome. I wanted to illustrate darkness for us. And Jesus, the Word, coming into that darkness, how he did. Because that is... It gives us a deeper significance of Jesus and what he came to do for us, right? And as I was reflecting on this scripture from, you know, this ever familiar scripture from John 1, verses 1 through 5, about in the beginning, you know, the more I reflected on it, I'm going, the Word is Jesus, the Word that we have, our hope, our life, our light. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And it's Jesus and his life and his light that we celebrate this weekend, this resurrection day, this resurrection weekend, right? Before the universe was created, there was nothing. Nothing, just God. There was darkness. But it says, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, the Word is Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus and God were together. Christ Jesus existed in the beginning with God. Christ was therefore God. And then as I'm reflecting on this and kind of pondering this all over, meditating on this, I turn to Genesis 1. Right? Because it also talks about in the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So there was nothing, right? There was God. There was Christ Jesus. And then this second verse reveals to us that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit was there, hovering over the waters. God made all things through Jesus and with the power of his Word. And I love that because it's like this tying together of God with Jesus, there with the Spirit present, using his very Word to create that force, that power behind it that created. And then in the Word that we read in John, that it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. So Jesus was with God, and God had that Word in him and was creating the universe. Wow. That's just awesome. That's just awesome to me. Jesus was very much a part of bringing life and light where there was nothing and where there was darkness. So we have the Trinity, this royal unity, fellowship of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit creating and bringing light where there wasn't any. Because God knew that without Jesus, men were dark. Men had darkness. We had darkness in our hearts. You know, as we see what happened in the Garden of Eden, sin crept in. Sin was there. We know from our faithful wristband, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. We all mess up. We needed a Savior. And we know the punishment, what we deserve for our sin is death. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And God created a way. God created a way for us. A solution to the sin, the huge sin problem that we had. And said, okay, their hearts are darkened. There's nothing. There's just darkness. And he flips the switch and says, just like this light that penetrates the darkness, that penetrates our darkness and takes away the condition of sin for those who will receive. And aren't you so joyful? Aren't you so glad? Aren't you so thankful for Jesus that he gave us a solution? That Jesus is hope. He is our light in the darkness. And as I reflect even more, as I reflected even more on this, and then thinking about the Word is Jesus and what the Word, the actual Word of God is to me in my life, it's like, wow. That Word, that very Word that we have, that he gave us, is such a light to me in my darkness. Isn't the Word of God a light to you? It's like you see nothing, like, God, what do I do? Or you're praying for an answer, or there's a situation, and boom. Well, that's not very bright, but boom. He lights it up. His Word is a lamp into our feet. I wrote it down somewhere. Yes, and a light into our path. It's his Word. It's Jesus. We could use those interchangeably. I started reading scriptures about the Word and replacing it with Jesus. So like Proverbs 4:22, God's Word is life unto those that find, or his words in plural, is life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So if God's Word is Jesus, we could also say Jesus is life unto those who find him and health to their flesh, right? Thank you, Jesus. He's our healer. So anywhere that you see that you read about the Word or you read about Jesus, you could interchange, right? Because Jesus is the Word. He is that light to our darkness. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his Word. He sent his Word, Jesus. He sent his Word, Jesus, and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Our destruction that we were headed to was sin, was the wages of sin, as we know, is death, destruction. We know the father of lies, the Bible talks about, comes to the devil comes to kill, came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life. And life abundantly. Amen. We also know a reason that he came from 1 John 3:5. You know that he appeared so that he may take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that holy Jesus that we have. He is set apart and he makes us set apart. 1 John 3, the second part of verse 8, says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Amen. The devil's work, in other words, in our lives, was darkness. Right? Amen. And he gave us a solution for that devil's work in our life. Jesus, the Word, our life, our living hope. And I'm just so, wow. Today, I feel like God gave me this week, I had some questions and some things that I was really pondering and seeking God and asking him for some answers. And the Word of God came alive. And it was like light in the middle of darkness. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it amazing? Thank you, Jesus, for your Word. Because where I didn't know where my next step was going to be, and I'm like, dark, and it's, you know, you ever feel like that in life sometimes? Life is challenging, right? Praise God that we have Jesus, the ever-present help in time of trouble, the Emmanuel God who is with us, who holds us by his righteous right hand and says, don't be afraid. And I have given you my word. Jesus, my very life, lives inside of you. And his word comes just when we need it. And it's like that lamp right there. And then I can take a step in peace and not have fear. And that happened to me today. I was, you know, really seeking, pressing God, pressing in a couple days. And God has been speaking. And praise God. It's awesome. Light. Light in my darkness. Right? And then I was quiet today. I was having some prayer time. And then it was like, okay, I've talked enough, God. I emptied out my heart. I'm just going to be quiet for a moment. What do you want to say? Because you're my loving, good Father. You are Jesus, the life incarnate that came to be flesh, came, and you are here with me. What do you want to say? And right away, scripture, Psalm. I went and read the Psalm. Light in my darkness. It's his word. It's Jesus that is light to us. So, as we celebrate this weekend and as we just continue, you know, feeling, and we feel like when we feel like we're in darkness, or sometimes we don't even realize we're in darkness, right? But we are, and God goes, ah, she needs a little light there. Cue the word. Bring the word. She needs some light. So that, because we think we're doing okay and we're walking this way, and God's like, bring the light. Bring Jesus, my flesh, the word, and he steers us in the path that we need to go. So I encourage us, each of us, and encourage each of you, press into his light, because he is our ever-present help. He is the Jesus that penetrated the world of sin to give us a solution, to give us hope and peace and a future and light in the middle of our darkness. Amen. I will pass off. We're doing a tag team here tonight. So I am going.
Praise the Lord. He will never fail us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that word that Sarah was talking about became flesh and dwelt among us. And his name is Jesus. That name. And do you realize that in Genesis that Sarah was talking about, when he said, let there be light, the sun and the moon weren't made until a few days later. So that was the glory of God. That's what that light was, the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, it was important back then, well, in the Bible times, and I know that today it's important, names, when the people in the Bible gave a name, it was to describe that person or a characteristic or an attribute of God. Okay? For instance, Adam, the root of Adam, was from Adama, which means earth. So he was made out of the earth. Eve means life giver. So she carried the kids. Amen. Noah means comfort. He was comforted by God when he said, I'm going to destroy this place. No. Yeah. Amen. And then Abraham means father of many nations. Isaac means laughter. Moses means drawn forth. He was drawn out of the Nile. Joshua means God saves. Eli means my God. Daniel means God is my judge. Jonathan means Jehovah gave or God's gift. Ezekiel means God will strengthen. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Zechariah means the Lord remembers. Isaiah means salvation of the Lord. And then Jesus, or Yeshua, means salvation. Hallelujah. And salvation means deliverance, rescue, safety, protection, welfare, liberty, freedom, prosperity. All those things. So can you imagine when you're saying, in the name of Jesus, deliverance, it's saying deliverance, rescue, safety, all these things are coming when you're speaking in that name, the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So just that name, no other name but that one, Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, that name. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So what name is trying to attack you today or come against your family? What name? It's not above the name of Jesus. We call on Jesus. And when we call on Jesus, we get deliverance and rescue and prosperity and freedom and welfare, and all these things come at the name of Jesus. Nothing can stop that. Okay? Ephesians 1:21 through 22. His name is far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So if he's the head, we're the church, everything's under our feet too. Hallelujah. Just call on that name. His name. One of my favorite scriptures, Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will, notice the words, will. They will take up servants, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And that says they, but I'm saying we. We believe, therefore, those signs follow us. We cast out demons in Jesus' name. We speak with new tongues in Jesus' name. If we drink anything deadly, it won't harm us. Guess who's in us? The Word, the living Word of God, Jesus. It can't hurt us. Amen. We lay hands on the sick and they will recover. By faith, they will recover. We don't have to see it. We live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. In the name of Jesus, there's deliverance, rescue, healing, prosperity, freedom. All those things are in his name. That powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't have to be concerned about anything, worry about anything, because it's in his name. We're just the representative, and we just come in his name. Amen. Okay, Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Not might be, it's not a suggestion. Shall be saved. That's what his word says. He said that, not me. He says it. So when we talk to people, for them, when they call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And we have to begin, really, and me too, all of us, we walk by faith. Does not matter what we see. They call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved because he said so. Amen. And so in Acts 3, we read about the lame man. He was laid at the gate, beautiful, daily begging alms. Okay? Then Peter and John sees him, says, silver and gold have I none, but with such I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk. And he got up, leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. And when they questioned Peter, Peter said, and his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes. The faith which comes through him, Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That's Acts 3:16. That's awesome right there. He laid there daily. And then they came along, and faith in his name, Jesus' name, get up, rise up and walk. Get up. And he got up and he started leaping and praising God. And then after that, they were questioned some more. They were beaten and they were told, we don't want you to preach nor teach in that name anymore. And they were like, should we obey you or should we obey God? So after they were told that, they went back to their brethren and Peter prayed, now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And not only is his name powerful, but it's hallowed. And I looked that up, and hallowed means reverenced as holy, to render as sacred, and to consecrate. And that's in Matthew 6:9 when the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name, or, you know, just how awesome that is. His name is holy. And so when we think about his name is holy and sacred and consecrated, and every time we say it, we're saying deliverance, rescue, prosperity, healing, freedom, liberty, everything we need is in his name. And not only that, Jesus is our peace. He's our strength. He's our song. He's the power and wisdom of God. And everything we need is in him. And he is our righteousness. He's the one that reconciled us to the Father so that we stand be made righteous and blameless before him. And it's all about Jesus. How awesome that name, the name of Jesus, that we should be going around jumping and leaping and praising God, jumping and leaping and praising God. Because that name, we have that name. He's given us that name and the authority in his name. He said, I have given you authority in my name to tread on serpents. Amen. Woo! Amen. It's all in his name. So I just praise God that he did not leave us with no weapons, with nothing. We have his name. We can call on his name, not our name. We're coming in his stead as his ambassadors in his name so that people are set free, delivered, rescued, safe, protected, liberty, freedom, healing, our peace, our sanctification, our victory, our everything is Jesus, and it's all in his name. Amen.
We're bringing the house down. All right. Amen. Let's pray, because you don't want to hear from Enoch. Seriously, you don't want to. So let's pray that God will speak. Father, I thank you so much. You are here. Thank you that you are dancing in that corner, Lord. And you are so rejoicing over your children here in your father's house, my father's house, your house. Thank you so much. I pray, Lord, that you would speak, that you would shut Enoch off, and that your Holy Spirit would take control, that he would speak. He would move, oh God, in and among our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we would know exactly what you're telling us. So we know who we are and we can walk in all that you have called us to. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. All righty.
In the name.
In the name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're still in the name. Amen. All righty. So thank you, Sarah and Miss Cheryl, for the word and the name. I was jealous because I was thinking, my goodness, the word. I love the word. The word is so good. It's better than short ribs with garlic sauce, ice cream, whether you like chocolate, vanilla. It is better than anything. The word is beautiful. It is scrumptious. And I thought, why did she get that? And then I thought, oh, the name. Oh, I love Jesus. I'm in love with the man. His name is Jesus. He is the best thing since sliced bread. And I thought, why did she get that? So I asked the Lord, so what's with this, the blood thing, Lord? And he said, because I want you to come up to a level of understanding of the blood that you've never had before. I said, oh, thank you. I like it. Amen. So we are talking about the blood and the scripture that was given to me. Sorry about the paper. If you can't understand my sermon today, it's because he gave me a whole lot of papers. It's his fault. 1 Peter chapter 1. He's okay. He's fine. He's cool with that. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. And the scripture says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. So before we go, let me give you some facts about the blood, not just the Jesus blood, our blood, just blood. Nearly 7% of the body weight of a human is made up of blood. An adult body has 60,000 miles of blood vessels running throughout the body. And David figured it out and said, wow, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Though we are familiar with common blood types, you know, A, I'm O positive, you know, A negative, this and that, there are actually 30 different recognized blood groups and blood types. The rarest is AB negative. One in every 167 people are born with AB negative. It's about 0.6% of the population. And some of these people I heard, they actually go frequently to the blood banks and donate blood just for themselves. Because if they have to go for surgery, yeah, they don't have no supply. Another fact, the average volume of blood present in an adult male is 5.6 liters, while an adult female contains about 4.5 liters. A newborn baby, and I was thinking about Sana, my little girl, a newborn baby has about a cup of blood in its blood. Just a cup. Fascinating. I didn't know about that. More than 400 gallons of blood, 400 gallons of blood are filtered by our kidneys every day. That's a lot of blood. But blood is not all over our body. There's one place there's absolutely no blood in our body. The only place where blood cannot be found in the human body is the cornea, the eye, because the cornea is capable of directly extracting oxygen from the air. I didn't test it, so I'm just going there. Our body has about 0.2 milligrams of gold. Most of this is in your blood. Yeah, you are gold. So, I was meditating, and I said, God, I don't want to speak. I want you to speak. And God gave me specific words on which I am going to talk about in reference to the blood. So, I liked the word, the name, and the blood, and I think it was divinely put because the blood washes my past. So, this is talking about the past, present, and future. The blood washes away my past. And the word establishes me at that moment, in the present, so I can claim it and move on. And in the name of Jesus, I can open up my future. So all of that is established. And so I looked into what can I talk about the blood. Oh my goodness, there's cleansing, there's forgiveness, there's access, you know, there's adoption, there's healing, the redemption, victory, you know, acceptance. You know, I mean, we can sing that song all over again. I'm like, woohoo, you know. I said, Lord, this is confusing. I thank you. I receive it. But I have 15 minutes, and I'm pretty sure Miss Cheryl and Sarah are going to take 25 minutes for the sermon, and you didn't. I said, okay, Lord, you have anointed them. It's my turn now. So I was meditating. I had notes and notes. And yesterday morning, while I was having devotions, God gave me specific words, and I jumped out of my seat. You know, and the kids thought I was crazy. And he talked about four things, and he condensed it to this. He talked about the promise, the power, and the position. The promise, the power, and the position. And that's all I'm going to talk about, because you could go into 800 different directions with the blood. Praise the Lord. The promise. And I'm going to lay down a few things which we all know. I mean, I am presuming we all are, we know what the blood is. Hey, you know, wash my sins. You know, I'm cleansed. I mean, it's my covering. I just want to lay a few things. And I want to go to a place where God's taking me to, and hopefully everybody else can join us. Leviticus 17:11. It's the promise of life and freedom. It says, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. So the blood is the atonement. It covers me. It cleanses me. It purges me. It reconciles me. It actually says, there's a word in the Blue Letter Bible, it says that it pacifies. We don't use pacifiers at home, you know. But you get the idea. It calms something down. There is a requirement, and the blood says, here it is, paid in full. So the blood covers me. Ephesians 1:7, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, the trespasses, all my wrongdoings, every fault of mine, it's all washed away. The blood redeems me. It's the redemption. It's the release by payment. It's the release where a slave comes standing up in front of the crowd, people jeering, chained. And a man comes and says, that's mine. Here's the price. He's mine. And he says, go be free. That is the redemption. What is my response? And I just took two verses. I could go. I was having a whole bunch of things. But I just want you to focus on the number one, the promise. There is a promise here. My response, see, this could change your life if you get a revelation of this. I know that for me, I know I've been through church life almost all my life since my fourth grade, since I asked Jesus. You know, we have heard this truth over and over and over and over again so much that it does not have that impact. It doesn't go deep. It goes here, settles down in my mind. But I want you to know that God wants this not only in your mind, it has to go deep. Sometimes the greatest difference between walking in the knowledge and knowing things and greater revelation, where it is part of you, is just about 12 inches from here to here. And we want that. This should change everything about me. And I'm going to say me because it should change everything about yourselves. You talk about yourself. I'm talking about me. God's speaking to me. I am now acceptable. And I can come without hindrance into the very throne room of God, where there was first no access here. The angel of the Lord with the sword standing by guards like, Adam, turn around. Can't come here. That angel put the sword on and says, welcome, child of the Most High. I have access. I have come without hindrance before God. And we think, you know, the blood cleanses us from all sins. Yes, it does. But that's the smallest, the easiest matter. A lot of Christians, and I have been there, and by God's grace, I'm on a journey to seeing more and more of Jesus exemplified, coming into me and displaying through me. Sin is just a small, trivial matter for God to take away. He did that. But sometimes Christians struggle with a mindset where they are so still soaked up like a pickle in the sin mindset. In a sin mindset where they say, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve that, God. Give me a little thing here and there. I'm okay. Thank you. And the reason I was like that, when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had asked the Lord for 2 to 3 years. And every time I didn't get it, I thought God was not happy. He's thinking, change a little bit more. Do a little bit more. Perform a little bit more. And that's what I thought. And the reason was, even though I had the truth, it hadn't conquered my mind. I did not allow it. I had my own mindset. And God said, when there's a renewing of my mind, I start thinking like Jesus. Amen. And Jesus said, you can talk to the mind. Speak to the mind. I like that sticker on your refrigerator. You know, when I take my kids over to pee, you know, it's a glorious time. I go out to the fridge and like, speak to the mountain. Woo, Lord, where's the mountain here? No, but that's the truth. That is the truth. That's the truth, because we as Christians are so used to telling how big the mountain is. Can I give that example, honey love? This morning, I was sleeping. So, Sana, praise the Lord, I got a godly wife. Sana is sleeping, she peed in the bed. Aaron's coming to sleep, he peed in the bed. So we got to wash. Not just the beds and the covers, the whatever it's called, the plastic, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah, it's the whole thing. And then she falls, you know. And so I'm hearing all this. And here's the Spirit of God that's in us that speaks and says, praise the Lord, we have kids that can pee. We have kids that can pee. We have a washing machine that can clean the pee. And I have the Spirit of God inside me that can remind me that there is the washing machine and kids, that they can pee and clean and go to church and give a sermon. It is my position. The blood gives me that. The blood gives me that. Not just sin, this is the point, but a clear conscience and a sound mind. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I cannot have a sound mind and still say, I'm a victorious Christian. You know, there is a big difference. If I don't have a sound mind, I can't walk in the right mind, because I'll be out of my mind. Where was I, Lord? Okay, the promise is that I have a position. And the position entitles me to God's yes and amen. You would not believe this. When this hit me, I thought God had gone crazy. Because God grants you things. And He wants us to take Him for granted. So anytime I come to Him, I cannot come with a mindset, if this is your will, Lord, would you heal me? Maybe it's not your will. Maybe, God, you are bringing the sickness because you're trying to teach me something. I'm thinking, no. God does not. God has to steal it from hell, because God doesn't have a store of sickness in heaven. Cheryl, jump it too much. Let me give you some sickness. No. God doesn't give us sickness or any of those things that we stop and say, maybe so. There is a position that entitles me to say yes and amen. So if a sickness comes, I can kick that sickness and say, God says, by His stripes I'm healed, so I claim it. So here's the thing. The reason we have challenges before us, because we think, you know, life, you know, Christian life is a bed of roses. You know, we think that. We think that, oh, it is so wonderful. And we tell people, you get saved, everything will be, you know, rosy. And, you know, then they have this problem, these issues, you know. I have a flat tire. I'm in the middle of the highway. Oh, my sink broke. You know, this thing, all these things. And we wonder, what's happening? Here's what He says. God says, I'm going to bring some things and allow some things, so you can actually walk in the victory. You can walk in the power. You can kick that darkness, because my Son Jesus kicked it too. And you are the same. Let that sink into you. You are the same. It is my birthright, because the pure, spotless Lamb of God is making me, a pure, spotless bride of Christ. So, question for you, just to think. Are you the bride of Christ? Yes, right? Yes. I think so. Some of you are hedging their bets. Oh, I think so. If you are, then that is being promised through the blood. Amen. You do not have to doubt it. Second, number two, the promise. The first was the promise. Second is the power. We have confidence. Hebrews 10:19. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, yes, by the new and living way. We can boldly enter. I have permission. I have permission. You know, this is one of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Esther. And I read it over and over just because I love it. I love the fact. It's like a movie. You know, you watch the same scene. One scene that, ooh, Lord, that gives me the holy heebie-jeebies, you know. You're wondering, oh, that is so awesome. It's a scene where Esther has to plead because it's the final day. She goes, and you know the rule, you know, you don't come into the presence of the king without permission, you know. And she comes and everybody's like, oh, her head's going to go 2 feet above her head, you know, her body. So everybody is with bated breath waiting. And the king looks at her, and he takes his scepter and says, permitted. Amen. Permitted. Did you know God put it specifically there because that's exactly what happens with you and me? When I walk, and I know for me, you also probably have the same privilege. When I walk into the kingdom, into the heavenlies, the hosts of heaven stand up. And they bow down. You might think, this guy is a pompous, proud fella. I'm sorry, that's the position he has given me. I am accepted. I am permitted. I come. And Jesus says, hey, bro, I'm a brother in Christ. The first time he said that, I told Don, you remember that? I had an insight, and I was talking to him, and I heard the Spirit of God says, we're tracking, bro. I said, are you allowed to say that? He said, yes, because I'm an heir of God and co-heir with Christ. He's my brother. He's the firstborn. Among the, right? Yeah, I am right just like him. So he's my bro. And we are tracking is a word to say we are on the same plane. We are thinking straight. We are the same mindset because the Holy Spirit renews my mind. All right. Boldly and confidently we have access. When was the last time you went into the throne room boldly? Singing, dancing. Ephesians 2:13, we have a new position. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I am in Christ and I'm pleasing to God. Revelations 12:11, I have conquering power. So we talked about the confidence, the new position. So this is all in the power. I have conquering power. And they overcame, conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Here's something that God has taught me, and I'm still learning, growing. Don't let Satan ever tell you you're a sinner.
Amen.
Some people say, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Literally. You see, every time there's a truth that you have a revelation about, it grows. I have heard Satan come and say something opposite, exactly opposite. And I was a baby Christian, I would accept that. Oh, yeah. I can't think like that. I can't think like Jesus. Now I know when I say it. But I used to think, no, that's too lofty and high. God wants you to. He says, come up higher. So you better think like Jesus. And they overcame Satan. You are not a sinner. You are not. Satan wants you to believe that you have problem with sin. You know, you're not able to walk with God. God says you are not a sinner because I have declared you pure, sinless. And he says you might have a sin habit. You don't have a sin nature. People think, oh, I have a sin nature. How do I conquer this? How do I walk this? They say, you don't have a sin nature anymore. Because if you have the nature of Jesus, you can't have a sin nature. You can't be a sinner and saved. That's like an oxymoron, right? I'm dead and I'm alive. No, you can't. You are alive in Jesus. Amen. That's the final thing. Don't let sin tell you you're a sinner. You're not a sinner. You're a saint who may sometimes have a problem with a habit of sin, and habits can be broken. Amen. See, that's what kept me along years and years. I got saved when I was in the fourth grade, but I didn't grow and come into the maturity till I was out of high school. And the reason was I didn't have this truth. I thought I was not good enough. Remember I told you for 3 years I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When I had the right teaching, and then I knew my position, and I started growing, I got baptized like that. And I thought, and every time I didn't get the baptism of the Lord, people would pray. I thought, you know, it's like puke, you know. You throw up. It's not you didn't want to. It just came out because the body threw it out. I thought it's just going to come out, like God's going to take your tongue and... But it's not like that. It's not like that. God wants me to open up my mouth out of my own desire and speak. Now, he fills the words, and he puts in words, and the reason I knew that it was not me making up those words. By the way, every time you speak in tongues, you know, especially when you're growing, he says, ugh, that sounds so stupid. It's so gibberish. I don't think it's tongues. How many of you have heard that? Yeah? I used to hear that. One day in church, I had the pastor's wife praying. This is back in Illinois. She was praying, and she and I were saying the same exact words. And I said, no, that is not possible. Because I don't know what she's saying. I don't know what I'm saying. But we both are saying the same things in tongues. And God said, you see, it's by faith you step out. I fill the words. Amen. Last one, the position. So we talked about the promise, the power, and third, the position. We are restored in our position before sin robbed us. I asked, how do I go about this position? And God said, go to Genesis and study how I walked with Adam before sin came and robbed, because that's exactly what I'm restoring you, me, the church to. Amen. My goodness, that would be fun, don't you think? That would be fun. Walk in the garden. You know, he's, go out and play. Did you see that snake? Oh, the lion? Ooh, they pulled it mane, you know. Can I do that? Sure, he's tame. It's fun walking with Jesus. We are restored in our position. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, after the likeness, our likeness, just like us. John 1:4:17 says that too. As he is in heaven, so am I. Oh, jeez. Pastor, you know, used to drink water, and I used to think I should go run get water. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Our resemblance, our likeness is just like God. Now that we have been cleansed by the blood, we are in a new position. We are walking and talking just like Jesus would. And then what did he give us? Likeness. We are just like him. We think like him. We talk like him. We act like him. We react like him. You can ask my wife. Sometimes, praise the Lord, I am changing. I don't react the right way. But now in Christ, I am reacting. And you can ask her separately later. I have changed a lot because of who Jesus is in me and who I am in him. That's because of the blood. It gives you permission. You are permitted. Do you know, in fact, we think so much of the dead person, you know, the old man. He says, consider yourself dead. Just consider yourself dead. You're dead. You're dead. He's dead man walking. Dead man walking. You know why? Because now the Christ in me, whoa, I'm saying he's more alive than anybody else. Amen. I have power and the ability to be fruitful and multiply, because he said, and let them have dominion over all the earth, over the fish, I mean, over everything. Dominion. I have dominion because of the blood. And then God put man, and he said, go tend to the garden, grow things in it. I have purpose. And then verse 16 and 17 in Genesis chapter 2 says, I have permission. You are permitted to eat of all the fruit. There are two trees. Watch out. You are permitted not to be the old man, not to go in the old ways. You are permitted. It's not restriction. God never puts restrictions on you. Have you ever noticed that? He never puts restrictions on you. And we think that when we do wrong, that God comes with a baseball bat to hit us. No, that's the wrong image that Satan wants you to have. But the right image is he comes to you so humbly and says, come, let's reason. With your sin, you know, if I have sinned and fallen, come, let's reason. Let's talk about it. And the kindness of God makes you so wonder, why in the world did I ever do that? Because the kindness of God leads to repentance. I have permission. There was a little girl. She went to her school teacher in her class and said, I'm sad. And the teacher says, why? My father's in prison and my mother's in the hospital. The teacher was heartbroken. She said, I am so sorry. You may go home if you want to. I know this is too difficult on you. You may go. I give you permission to go. So the girl took her bag and went. She's going out. One of the assistants there says, Where is she going? Well, I gave her permission to go home. She said, why? She said her father was in prison. Her mother was in the hospital. Well, of course. The father's a prison guard. The mother's a nurse. Hey, come back. Permission is permission. You and I have permission. Ephesians 2:6, I am raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenlies. So I am seated in the heavenlies. My place is not in the outer courts. It's with him in the heavenlies. We read about the veil being torn. And Jesus said, come with me. I'll take you into the cool places. We are seated with him. We have the presence of God to walk with and the fellowship to dance with, to do whatever, because we are in him. So what am I to do? Another place it says, John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. When God told me that, I said, wow, I am sitting on the bosom of the Father. Because Jesus is sitting there, and I'm in him. That's my position. So what am I to do? What is my place here now? Remember this. Your position is in Christ. The blood removes you from outer darkness, puts you in the light. The blood removes you from guilt, condemnation, and puts you in holiness and righteousness. When God sees me, he doesn't see my fault. He sees me pure, spotless, sinless. You may say, so then what do I do when I make mistakes? That's why God put 1 John 1:9 in the Word. If we have any sin, any wrong, anything when the Holy Spirit comes and nudges you, I can go to the Father. We have Jesus who cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness, from all fault, and presents us spotless, pure. So what am I to do? God said, put this. Luke 4:18, where Jesus is speaking, you know, reading this in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed. Hey, guess what? The blood now gives me access, permission to be just like Jesus. Right there, doing exactly right that. The reason is, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, as Jesus is in heaven, at this very second, very moment, so am I here on earth. Let that sink into you. Beth, you are just like Jesus, full of power, full of anointing, full of the glory of God. Isaiah 55 says, I have made you glorious. He's talking to David. I have made you glorious. We have not seen a glimpse of glory. You and I have in ourselves all of that. And he's bursting to come out. All he needs is, please walk in the position, in the power, in the privilege that God has called you to. You've got the Word. Word's in you. You've got the Holy Spirit. He's in you. You know, anytime I come to God and ask something, it's in stereo. Holy Spirit says, yes. God the Father says, in Jesus, yes. Jesus says, of course, yes. You know, it's like American Idol. It's like all three go, you know. It's like, yes, 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 yes. I always have the golden buzzer. Once I came, like, I was asking the Lord, and I said, Lord, I need, yes. But you didn't even hear it, but yes. Are you sure? Yes. You're funny. Yes. But that is exactly how God treats us. He wouldn't treat you with any. By the way, he is funny to me. He is anointed with the spirit of joy about all his companions. He's the funniest person. I mean, who would say, you're tracking, bro? He is funny. You know why? He doesn't have a day where he's grumpy. Can you imagine having grumpy or being frustrated? God's like, I'm just frustrated today. I am frustrated. That Enoch, I mean, how many times? I am frustrated. No. You know, nobody's frustrated. That's why we'll worship forever and ever. And sometimes, you know, you're like, wow, that's half an hour of worship. Man, when are they going to finish? I'm hungry. No, we'll be worshiping forever and ever. So know your position. He's alive, so I'm alive. Close with this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Cheryl. The Spirit of the Lord is upon... I forgot your name. Ellie. Why am I saying Emily? Ellie. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Sarah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Pastor Don. Everybody here. The Spirit of the Lord is not just upon us. He's now inside of us. I'm telling you something. It should change the world inside out and upside down. Because as he is in heaven, so am I here on earth. So my calling is I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to pray for the sick while I'm shopping for vegetables. By the way, I don't shop in Walmart. I'm just giving examples. More common. I am raised to clear the blindness in people that I see. To help them see, to hear, to experience God in a newer level. All because of the blood. So the next time the devil comes and tells you, you are not good enough, you can say, I am. Because I'll tell you what he is. And God told me to write this down. God told me to write, this is months back. God, what are you to me? I want to know who you are because I want to, if I have the right image of God, I will have a right image of who I am in Christ. And I can actually walk in victory. He is kind, he's patient, he's understanding, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in mercy, he's full of love, he's funny, he never gets tired of me, he never gives up on me, he's always looking for the best interest, he carries me, he carries my burdens, he freely gives to me, no restrictions, can you imagine? He's interested in me, he's like a lover, always thinking about me, and every time I wake up in the morning, his heart goes... He gives me rest. He's the epitome of goodness. He's perfect because he never regrets or backtracks. He's refreshing. He's enabler. He's my defender. He's my advocate. He's my greatest cheerleader. He's my life giver. He's a liberator. He's my keeper. He's the pinnacle of satisfaction. He satisfies always. He empowers me. He enlightens me. He enables me. He's my example. He leads me to victory always. And he has filled me with his glory and power so I can walk just like his son Jesus, because as he is in heaven, so am I here on earth. If this is your position, and I know this is, and there's a scripture in Numbers, he says, if the Lord delights in us, and I'll read that because it is one of my favorite verses. If the Lord delights in us, and I know that he does, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to me. It is a land flowing rich with milk and honey. Numbers 14:8. The Lord delights because when he sees you, he sees the blood. And he says, accepted, pleasing, holy, righteous, and all things in Christ are permitted to you and me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the blood. Jesus, we thank you that you were the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, that we really can and do and did behold your glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So from that grace we receive tonight everything that you purchased from us at the cross of Calvary with your precious blood, not with silver, not with gold, not with precious things from this earth, but with your own precious blood. Forgiven, healed, delivered, free by your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus. You're everything to us. We praise you and give you glory and honor. And thank you that you didn't stay in a grave. You came out of the grave and you're alive today and you're coming back soon. Help us to take that word to the nations. In your precious name we pray. And everybody say,
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.